Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul and Jordana and DJ and you. We appreciate you joining us today. We're trying to get up to speed and wrap our brains around what's happening in Ukraine. The first major war in Europe in 75 years, really since the beginning, since the onset of World War II. And they're calling it a Russian blitzkrieg, which may be an appropriate metaphor. It's the first time there's been a major war, an invasion in Europe, since Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany invaded Poland back in 1939, which went on to start World War II. So we have questions. Ukraine has been independent, a sovereign nation, for more than 30 years since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And it's held democratic elections. I think there have been five different presidents during Putin's reign in Russia. So heading off in a more westerly direction, they want to be free. They want to choose their leaders. How do we get to where we are today? Professor Rene Burr is a political science professor at the St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. And Professor Burr is joining us today. Welcome.
For having me.
Absolutely. Can you explain to me, can you explain to listeners, I understand Ukraine was a part of the Soviet Union, which basically dissolved since 1991, and they gave up nuclear weapons, 5,000 nuclear weapons, the third biggest arsenal in the world, in 1994, with guarantees from the U.S., the U.K., and Russia. Basically, they gave up their nukes in return for a promise that Russia wouldn't invade. And now it's being invaded. Can you just get us up to speed with where we are and what's the history, kind of the Cliff's Notes version of Ukraine and Russia?
Absolutely. So Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, as you mentioned. It's what's called a Ukrainian Soviet Socialist Republic. And when the Soviet Union fell apart, those socialist republics became independent states. So that is where Ukraine's independent story starts in the modern era. But obviously, Ukraine was not always under the sway of Russia, contrary to how Putin wants to present it. So since about 2004, Ukraine has been progressively asserting its independence. In those early years between 1991 and 2004, fairly pro-Russian leadership were in charge, and they didn't make a lot of reforms. But in 2004, there was a well-contested election between a more pro-Western candidate named Yushchenko, who was going up against a pro-Russian candidate named Yanukovych. And Yushchenko was likely to win. And so there was, you may recall, Yushchenko was actually poisoned during the campaign and nearly died. But the election was rigged. They said that Yanukovych, the pro-Russian candidate, had won. And that started the Orange Revolution, which eventually led to new elections and the election of pro-Western Yushchenko. So since then, Russia has been trying
Professor,
to regain control.
Professor, let me just jump in here. You said the election was rigged. Was the election rigged by the Russians?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. There was definitely ballot stuffing in the Ukrainian election. So we had exit polling data that proved that Yushchenko had won by a small margin. and the official word that came out, which was from the Kuchma government, which was pro-Russian, claimed that Yanukovych had won. So it was by comparing that exit polling data to the actual supposed data that the pro-Russian government put forward. And so that is the first big uprising of the Ukrainian people in favor of their independence. So since then, Putin's been trying to sort of indirectly control Ukraine through increasingly invasive ways.
So let's talk about how Volodymyr Zelensky came to power and what type of how he changed things, and then what type of government they've had in more recent years.
So you start with Yushchenko in 2004, engaging more with the European Union. So that's a fairly contentious issue, but for Ukraine's economy and its society, it makes more sense for it to reach out both to the European Union and to Russia. So that tends to be the biggest difference between Ukrainian presidents, whether they're pulling a little bit more westward, whether they're pulling a little more eastward, whether they're viewed as more favorable towards the Ukrainian language or the Russian language. So that's the main grounds of contention for a Ukrainian president. So Zelensky came in a free and fair election and was really kind of an outsider candidate and more concerned with corruption than necessarily picking one of these sides. So he is a different kind of candidate than the ones that preceded him.
Professor, I'm curious, in the mind of Vladimir Putin, he perceives NATO as an offensive threat. And he called, apparently, Ukraine possibly joining NATO an existential threat for Russia. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say, look, the Ukraine has always been a part of Russia. Basically, they're sort of like the wayward son, and we're just going to reunite the wayward son with the family again. Do you care to delve into some of the psychology? And I'm trying to separate out legitimate history and facts from spin.
Yes. So definitely his speech, Putin's speech this past Monday, was a combination of facts, exaggerations, misinformation, and omissions. And so knowing that all four of those were in that mix is really important. The narrative that he told about Ukrainian identity actually is the same narrative that the Russian Tsarist regime used to try to subjugate the Ukrainian population as well as the Belarusian population, which they view in a very similar way. So that is a very Russian-focused, Russian-privileged kind of viewpoint of Ukrainian history. The deeper history, of course, is that Ukrainian culture, language, Belarusian culture and language, these things predate the Soviet Union. So none of what Putin said about that is accurate. These are old languages and old cultures that had their own identity, but they had been forcefully subjugated by the Russians. And whether that was by the Tsarist regime or by the Soviet regime, ultimately it was subjugation.
Professor, we're speaking with Professor Rene Buehr from St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. I know we only have a few minutes left, but share with us the relationship between Putin and Zelensky. And also, why is this happening now? Was there a trigger? Why did Putin decide? Again, why now?
That is an excellent question. So his stated rationale is that the Donbas region was destabilized and that Ukraine was had imminent plans to attack Donbas, this breakaway region in the east. There's no evidence of that. It was a frozen conflict. So that rationale doesn't pan out. That's why Putin has had to put forward a lot of fake news, essentially, to try to legitimize his claims of Ukrainian genocide of the Donbas people. There's just no real evidence of that. So why it's happening now, only Vladimir Putin knows. So it could be that he's looking at the international system as it is right now and seeing it as a bit weaker than it was, say, in 2008 when he tried a similar move on Georgia. So he may feel like there are more opportunities right now to do so. Britain is sort of in disarray, right? France is trying to hold together the transatlantic alliance. The U.S. has had a fairly rocky foreign policy for a while now. So he may just think that Zelensky is less experienced than his predecessor, Poroshenko, and he may think that the Western alliance is less capable. But we can only really speculate, since he may not even know exactly why he's doing it right now.
Hmm. Yep. Professor Burr, last question, 30 seconds. Is Putin ultimately worried about democracy at his doorstep? Is it a legitimate concern about NATO encroaching and him perceiving NATO as an offensive force versus a defensive force? When people ask you what's really going on, why is he risking blood and treasure? And sadly, it's going to be the blood of a lot of Ukrainians. Why is this happening now? And you touched on a lot of that geopolitically. But what do you think is really going on? What is he so afraid of?
So he has wanted Belarus and Ukraine to be dependent upon Russia ever since he became president in 1999. It could be that his attempts to do so indirectly through tampering in Ukrainian politics and then participating in the Donbass region and annexing Crimea, maybe he feels like these piecemeal things are not accomplishing the kind of control he wants of Ukraine. That's the only somewhat rational explanation I can arrive at, but there's a fair amount of speculation that he may not be behaving rationally at all at this point, and that's a tough question to really answer.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for this knowledge. We so appreciate your expertise, Professor Renee Buer, for political science, a professor with St. Thomas College of Arts and Sciences. We appreciate this, and we will call on you again, Professor.
Thank you,
Great.
Professor.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a knowledge bomb. I mean,
yes.
She just dropped on us.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get up
and that's
speed.
Good background. Like, I think you have to know the history to understand what's going on. Of course, nobody can understand why this lunatic Vladimir Putin, is invading this peaceful country. We don't know his true motives. And again, she says he may not be acting rationally.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.